from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'll give you guys my daily NFL thought. I appreciate you guys listening. I would say that there's probably 4 or 5 sports podcasts that are in my normal rotation. I listen to the What's Right podcast. I listen to Bill Simmons. I listen to Colin Cowherd. There's 4 or 5 people that I would say I listen to on a regular weekly basis. So I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and this is one of my favorite times to listen because they're, you know, breaking down NBA free agency, and I like hearing what he thinks about it. They were having a conversation about Paul George, and I don't think that this conversation is just an NBA conversation. I think it is more of a conversation regarding athletes as a whole. Let me play for you what Bill Simmons and Kevin Wilds had to say about Paul George.
You're mentioning all this Paul George big picture stuff, and you hit on something that I don't think he takes enough poo-poo for, whereas Kevin Durant takes all the poo-poo. But Paul George has been pretty, like, bouncy around-ish, right? Going back to Indiana that last year, ends up in OKC. Then it's like, oh, no, he really wants to play for the Lakers. Then all of a sudden he's re-signing with OKC. Then a year later, it's like, Would you be cool if we traded the Clippers? He's like, I'd love it. That would be great. Yeah. And now he's not staying with the Clippers, when I thought the whole time he just wanted to be in L.A. because he's from here. And now he's going to Philly, I guess, to chase a ring. And there's like some weird lack of respect piece, too, because they didn't give him one extra year. He's 34.
This is where I believe we are really unfair to athletes and hold them to one of the most unrealistic job standards. I don't know about you guys, but I had a choice of where I wanted to work after college. It's not like when I didn't graduate, but it's not like when I dropped out of college. It's not like I went into some radio draft, you know, and there was this city, Charlotte, that just thought I was this great, promising prospect, and they drafted me. I don't really want to live in Charlotte, but I don't really have a choice. They drafted me, so that's where I got to go. And then you're telling me that there is an expectation that I have to have some sense of loyalty to this place when I did not choose to live there. I did not choose to move there. That is just the way that my profession works. So then eventually I'm just like, well, I don't want to live at this place anymore. I want to go somewhere else. And this is where I think we start to be really unfair towards athletes. We tell athletes that we don't want it to be about the money. How many times have we thought that it's selfish that a player simply wants what the market tells him that he's worth? Hey, I'm not asking to be the highest paid player. I'm also not asking to take a team discount. I just simply want to be paid what the market tells me that I'm worth. Nothing more, nothing less. If they're telling me that this kind of receiver is worth $22 million or this kind of player is worth X amount of dollars, I simply want to be paid that. And we, as sports fans and as media people, because I'm part of this too, we then vilify that individual for simply wanting to be paid fairly. You want to know how I know this happens? I saw it happen with Chris Jones for a year. Chris Jones was simply asking to be paid what the market says that he was worth. Hey, I mean, if I was a free agent, this is what I would get. Oh, no, you're being greedy. Oh, no, your agent stinks. Oh, no, you don't want to win. Oh, no, it's the worst possible thing that you can do. That's one side of the coin. So you can't want all the money. But then if you join a team for the sole purpose of trying to win a championship, that's also the incorrect answer. You want to know how I know that happens? We saw Kevin Durant do that. Kevin Durant was a free agent. Could have joined any team that he possibly wanted to, but he picked that team to go to. We wouldn't have been mad at Kevin Durant if he had chose to play for the Boston Celtics at the time. We wouldn't have been mad if Kevin Durant had chose to play for the San Antonio Spurs or the Toronto Raptors, but no. He made a decision that was not a financial decision that put him in the best possible place to win a championship. We got to pick which one it is. Either we can let you go get all the money that your job tells you can get, and we can't be mad at that. Or when you then make a decision to win a championship, we can't call it ring chasing. Because I look at Paul George's career. I don't think that Bill Simmons is incorrect. I don't think he's wrong. Paul George went to go play with Russell Westbrook when Russell Westbrook was one of the best players in the league. That obviously didn't work. I don't want to play with him anymore. I now want to go play with Kawhi Leonard. You might find this as a shock, but Kawhi Leonard was never healthy during this process. He then said, I don't want to play with Kawhi Leonard anymore. I want to go play with Joel Embiid, who is also never healthy all the time, but that's another conversation for another day. He is not wrong that Paul George has done a little ring hopping, has done a little team chasing. Aren't you supposed to put yourself in the best situation to win a championship? Then, if you are maybe loyal to a team and then don't win a championship, we then criticize you for not winning a championship. You just can't win either way. If you stay in one place and you're Lamar Jackson, for example, and then you never win a championship, at the end, we will call your career a disappointment. Well, hold on. I couldn't go get the most money possible. I couldn't change teams. I stayed here. I did my best. Now you make fun of me because I didn't win a championship. What am I supposed to do? We just ask athletes to thread this very, very fine thread and needle their entire career. Well, we want you to get paid, but we don't want you to get paid too much. Well, we want you to win a championship, but we don't want you to win a championship this way or with this team. You got to stay with the team that drafted you, and you got to go through the ups and downs and the hardships and all of that. No, it's nonsense. You know what I would advise you to do if you're an athlete? Don't listen to people like me. Don't listen to me if you're an athlete. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Rob. Don't listen to the text line. Don't listen to Twitter. Don't listen to anybody. Do what you want to do. If you don't want to play for that team for $22 million, do not let us make you feel bad. If you want to play for you, hey, I'm here to make the most money that I can make. Then go make the most money possible. Because I think what we do to athletes is a little bit unfair. And we're seeing it play itself out in real time. I saw it play itself out real time with Chris Jones. I saw it play itself out real time with Kevin Durant. It's playing out right now with Paul George. I just don't know what the right answer is other than whatever team you get drafted with, you need to win a championship with that team. And then once you do that, you then get this magical key that then no one can criticize whatever decision you make next.
I understand what you're saying, and to an extent, I agree with you. But Carrington, you're ignoring the fact that in most every major sport, the team that drafts you usually has the opportunity to give you the best contract available. Like, let's use Chris Jones, for example. Chris Jones would have gotten the exact same deal in the open market they got with the Chiefs, but you could argue the Chiefs deal was better. You could argue the Chiefs deal was the best because it insured him both on the front end and on the back end. Not every team in free agency can do that. In the NBA, they have rules now where, hey, if you're a team who's retaining a player, you can actually offer that player more money than when he goes max contract hunting somewhere else. In baseball, we just saw with Bobby Witt. The Royals can buy out your arbitration years and give you more money than you would probably get on the open market, because when you hit the open market, because of arbitration, you're 27 as opposed to 23. All the sports have created a different level of rule to incentivize why staying is both financially the best play, and yet people like Paul George or Kevin Durant jump ship. And on that moment, when you tell me, oh, he's looking for the best contract available, well, hold on. It's designed to have the best one available here. Now, sometimes the team is not offering that, and I think fans have gotten a lot better at tipping your cap to a player and saying, hey, my team isn't going to pay you that money, but go get it somewhere else. Look at Willie Gay Jr. I don't think any Chiefs fan is like, why did he turn down? He went and got the best deal for him. But these sports are now building incentives and building advantages for the first team to keep you long term and it be financially beneficial to everyone. So when you say no to that to chase the big money, I understand why fans have a little bit of frustration.
Yeah, to me, I think the only time that you can really be mad as an athlete is you signed a deal very early on in the deal. You have then decided, hey, this doesn't work anymore. Now, that happens in the NBA far more than it happens in the NFL, but we have seen that too. Hey, you just signed a deal. Wait, now you're unhappy with the deal? Hold on. That's not how this works. You had a chance to be a free agent. You took the money, and now you want to try to finesse your way into another team in another situation. Man, if you are a free agent, you can go sign with whatever team you want to. I don't care if that is the hated rival of the team that you were on. If the team that you were currently on wanted you bad enough, they would have paid what it cost. They would have paid what it cost. They had an opportunity to keep you. They made the decision to not keep you. So if Klay Thompson wants to go play for the Lakers, the Mavericks, I don't care what team, you get the opportunity to go play for whatever team that you want to. And then I just think it's unfair that we then are hard on athletes when they don't win a championship. Like someone here says, hey, once you get a championship, after that, do whatever you want. But what if you don't get a championship? Then we make fun of you if you're Dan Marino. Then we make fun of you if you're Charles Barkley. I love inside the NBA. The only joke that Shaq has towards Charles Barkley is that you didn't win a championship. He has no other joke. And I love inside the NBA. But you've seen it before, Rob, haven't you? Charles will say something genuinely funny and kind of get under Shaq's skin. Shaq never has a witty retort. It's just, I won 4 championships. How many did you make? That's the only thing you can say bad about Charles Barkley. You can't say nothing else. It would have been better for Charles to go play with Michael Jordan, win a ring, and then go do whatever you want. No one says that about you. Oh, hey, you only got that ring because you played with so-and-so. Well, if that's the case, then we make fun of a lot of athletes. Hey, you only won a championship because you played with Tom Brady, because you played with Patrick Mahomes, because you were on this team at the right time. You are not a champion. You were just on the right team to call yourself a champion. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little more NFL. You guys know every day around 3:15, I give you guys my one NFL thought for the day. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep, spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
All right, every day I give you a different NFL thought during this time. This one's going to be a little bit different. Matt Miller, friend of the show, personal friend of mine, Matt Miller, I like him a lot, came up, started from the bottom. He was at SB Nation, and now he's on ESPN. You guys have probably seen him. His first 2025 mock draft is out, Rob. Let's go through it. Carson Beck, he has as the number one overall pick. Shedeur Sanders, he has as the number two overall pick. Will Johnson, corner. James Pierce Jr., Kelvin Banks. Luther Burden, he has as the eighth overall pick. He also has Travis Hunter in the top 10 going to Arizona. Quinn Ewers, he has as the 10th overall pick. This is my first question. Who do you think is most likely to fall out of the top 10? Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders, or Quinn Ewers as we head through this? Now, they got Carson Beck as the number one overall pick. I don't know what they've seen to suggest he's the best college prospect, but I know he plays quarterback. I've got my questions about Shedeur. Is his body going to be able to hold up with that offensive line that they have? I think Quinn Ewers is a little bit overvalued at 10 as well. You and I both are big college football fans. What do you make of this first mock draft from Matt Miller?
So it's interesting. I do not think Carson Beck should be the number one overall pick, but I understand why he is. He checks a lot of those prototypical boxes. You said, what's the one guy that will fall out of the top five from that three? I think it's Shedeur. I think Shedeur is going to have the worst team season of any of those three. And there's already a little bit of off-the-field noise surrounding Shedeur. And we both know how the NFL works. If he's held up to the light of the combine and the media scrutiny of February to the draft, the things that he already does that are kind of goofy to people and people sort of laugh off become a bigger problem. His rap career, his dad getting him to be the opener for Lil Wayne, the reports that supposedly he didn't like the old OC, so made sure his dad fired that guy, having the giant watch on the sideline, like those sorts of things I think will be amplified with another bad season in the Colorado football. And then when he's held up to the scrutiny of it, I think people will stop looking at it as some like quirky goofiness and be like, whoa, is that what you want from your number one overall pick? So I think it's the off the field stuff that knocks Shedeur and has him fall out of that grouping. But I'm not a huge Quinn Ewers guy or Carson Beck guy.
I mean, you and I have a very similar feeling towards Shedeur. This is the thing that I think is going to help Shedeur out. If you look at the modern quarterback, it looks a lot like him. He can throw it. He can run it. He obviously comes from a football family. The athleticism is there. There's a lot of things to like about Shedeur. I also wonder if you put him around great talent and you give him the offensive line. I mean, last year, you're talking about a team in Colorado that couldn't block up front and therefore couldn't run the football. You felt like he was just a target out there every single game. We've never seen him in a great offense. What does that look like if he gets to the next level? Now, he's got to hold up over the course of the season, but I do think there's still a lot of intrigue around him as a prospect. I know we got a long way to go till we get here. He has to go to the Raiders, right? Like, if you are the Raiders, you have been waiting for this kind of prospect, this kind of player, this kind of buzz. Shedeur and the black and you gotta go get Shedeur if you're the Las Vegas Raiders. That's one of your kind of prospects. Play with a little bit of flash. You're in Sin City. The same way that we have seen the Bears. Like, you have been waiting to get Caleb Williams, and we'll see if it works. I mean, I feel like the Raiders, since they moved to Las Vegas, this is the kind of prospect. And you also have to factor in, we know that he has a great relationship with Brady, and we know that Brady has some influence in that front office. I think Shedeur to the Raiders makes a lot of sense if they're in a position to draft him.
It makes all the sense in the world. The problem becomes, if you're the Raiders, are you so bad this year that you're taking Shedeur even if Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers are available? Like, Matt Miller knows more about the draft than I do. I'm not going to pretend that me and him are equals. He knows more about the draft than I do, but I don't really see it with Quinn Ewers. But let's say the Raiders end up picking two overall, which isn't outlandish to think. Their current quarterback is Gardner Minshew. Like, they might stink. If they're picking one or two overall and they have their choice of Beck, Ewers, or Sanders, outside of the flash and the skill, can you really afford to pass up on one of the other two that might have the more physical, prototypical look and feel of an NFL quarterback? Because as much as I don't like Ewers, He's big. He's strong. He can run a little bit. Big arm. Like he checks a lot of like the physicality boxes. Now we know that the physicality boxes don't equate to great quarterbacking. Like, not to take a shot at a local guy, but Josh Freeman checked all those boxes. He did not end up being a great NFL quarterback, but if you're the Raiders, you pick one or two overall. Are you taking the flash with Shador over the more safe pick in Quinn Ewers?
I just don't really like Ewers that much as a quarterback prospect. He's just never really blown me away. I mean, maybe this is the year that he does it. He's going to be on a really good team. They made the college football playoff last year. They're in the SEC. He's a junior. Like, he could still take that jump. I've just never been super enamored with his ability. I then was looking through the draft a little bit more. So he actually has five quarterbacks being drafted in the first round. We talked about the first three, Beck, Sanders, and Quinn Ewers. And then he has Connor Wegman, who is the quarterback at Texas A&M, and then he also has Riley Leonard, who is the quarterback at Notre Dame. He has those as being the other two, or excuse me, two of the five first-round pick quarterbacks. I'm not familiar with Riley Leonard at all. Where was he at last year?
He's at Duke.
He's at Duke.
He's
last
a Duke
year.
Transfer. Okay. He got hurt, I think, in the Notre Dame game last year.
So he's like their version of Sam Hartman year. Was Sam Hartman transferred from Wake Forest and now, yeah, okay.
Right. By the way, speaking of, it's a great analogy because he's old. Like, he's an older player. Like, he's not.
I love Sam Hartman last year. You remember, I was a big Sam Hartman fan last year. I thought Sam Hartman had a chance to win the Heisman Trophy last year. I really did. I like Sam Hartman. He let me down, man. Where is he at now? Who picked up Sam Hartman?
I'm pretty sure he's left end up. Who are we? We're Commanders.
Oh, he's a Commander?
I think he's Jaden Daniels' backup.
All right. Well, hey, man. Sam Hartman. Man, I hope you go out there and ball, man. I hope you have a great year, man. You let me down last year. That was a team I drank the Kool-Aid last year. I drank the Notre Dame Kool-Aid. I really did. They remember they had Ohio State at home? I thought they were going to beat Ohio State at home last year. I bet them to beat Ohio State at home. They did not beat them.
And that was the, I mean, they also had a couple other bad losses down the stretch. But, yeah, that was the end of the Notre Dame hype train. I'm on that hype train this year, by the way. I know this is a NFL thought segment, but if you want a team that you're like, hey, outside of the obvious who's going to make the college football playoff, I'm pretty confident Notre Dame's making it this year.
Hold on. Let's go through their schedule here. We're done with our NFL thought anyway. You're sure they're making the postseason? Because you're already on the. All right, let's look. Hold on. Let's look at.
I'm drinking that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, no, I'm down to look at. I'm down to talk a little college football. They play at Texas A&M the first game of the season. They play on the road against A&M. I'm looking at this schedule. It ain't.
Right? If they can beat A&M on the road.
It ain't tough. I mean, I'm looking at it. It ain't tough.
And by the way, that's A&M game one under Mike Elko ever in his career. And they have the better court. I mean, they get 6-1 and half dozen. Other Leonard versus Wegman, but you feel like you probably have the more talented roster, at least off the jump in that game. You win that one, you have a.
Yo, how did Notre Dame put this schedule together? Have you seen this schedule? They only have three road games. They have on the road against A&M, on the road against Purdue, and they play on the road against USC. How are they able to put this schedule together? Now, they have three neutral site games this year, which is very odd for a team, but it's also Notre Dame. They just live by different standards than everybody else. I mean, listen to the schedule for Notre Dame after they get past A&M. Northern Illinois on the road against Purdue, Miami of Ohio, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, home game for Florida State, Virginia, and Army. They don't got Clemson? Nothing?
Now, I'm trying to remember what their ACC alliance or partnership, whatever BS term
like
they're
it
using.
It stinks. They have Louisville on the team. Now, Stanford.
Louisville actually might be an okay ACC team
okay,
this year.
At home, they're getting smoked.
They're getting beat.
They're getting their boots smoked is what they're doing. Yeah, this schedule, this is what Notre Dame does every year. They eat up on these cupcakes, and then they got to play a good team from the SEC or the Big Ten, and they get the doors blown off them. I've seen this story way too many times. No thank you on Notre Dame. I'm not buying in.
I'm not buying as a title team, but you're telling me that team can't make the playoff? Like, outside the obvious ones. Like, if you're in the text line, be like, I think Ohio State's making the playoffs. Okay, well, great. They're the most talented roster in the country.
Yeah, no, I mean,
super
Notre Dame
duper.
Should do it. Or if they don't, I mean, Marcus Freeman, I'm here to tell you. You might not have a good offseason, my boy. I might be getting you replaced. I mean, you wasn't supposed to be the coach anyway. And now, you know, you blow this roster, and you might be right. I hadn't looked at Notre Dame's schedule. That was the first time I had looked at it. I didn't know their schedule was just so blah. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. Their schedule is just blah. Rob, what is your motivation, you think, if you were a Royals fan that sat through the 2.5-hour rain delay? Like, what's your motivation? Can we go inside the mind of that individual? I wish there was a way to open up the phone lines and assure that we would get a caller that stayed through the rain delay yesterday. Because when they showed the game again, there were people in the stands. It wasn't just completely empty. This wasn't COVID baseball they were out there playing. People stayed through the rain delay. If you're not in the crown seats where it's all you can eat, all you can drink, you can just chill and hang out and have a good time, what's the motivation to stay at the Royals game through the 2.5 hour rain delay? What's the motivation there? Take me inside the mind of this individual.
Did they offer vouchers before?
They did.
Okay.
They did offer you a voucher.
So, I mean, it's got to be that. I'm sticking it out for another free game on the back half.
I don't think you know that you're getting a voucher, though.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Like, I knew.
I just don't think you know. Now, they did give you a voucher, and I will give the Royals all the credit in the world. That is doing right by your fans. That is doing right by your paying customers. You certainly have the seats. You can make it where, hey, if you sat through this thing for an hour, hour and a half, we appreciate you. We're going to have an usher come by. We're going to give you a couple of vouchers. Hey, you can go home if you want to. You can stay if you want to. We can do all that. Are they still selling beer during this time? I've just never sat through one of these long rain delays. So I don't even know if they're still selling beer at this point.
I wonder how many of those people were people that had the following thought. I don't want to walk to my car in this torrential downpour.
That's a good one.
So I'll hang out for a little bit. And the longer and longer they hung out, they thought to themselves, well, baseball might be returning soon. So what? And we said it yesterday on the show. It wouldn't surprise me looking out on the roads and all the things. Some people probably had today off the same way they have tomorrow off and Friday off. So if you had no work and you were going to wait out the rain anyway because you don't want to get drenched walking to your car, and all of a sudden you've waited around for an hour and 15, what's another hour and 10 minutes of hanging out at the ballpark? And, you know, now you can bounce around, go down to the better seats. You know, it's kind of at that point an experience. Screw it, let's stay. Maybe you have kids. It's the summer. They can sleep in tomorrow. And you're like, why not? I'll stick around. That has to be the logic, because the actual any other reason makes no sense to me.
Do you know what time they resume the game?
11 p.m.
11 o'clock and you're still at the stadium? First pitch was at 7:10. You're still there? I'm telling you, man, you love the Royals more than I do. You love the Royals more than some of them. I'm telling you, you deserve more than a voucher. If you sat through that rain delay and that hailstorm and that rain and you were out there, you deserve more than two future tickets to Royals and Tigers. You deserve a lot. John Sherman should come to one of your family functions and do a toast is what he should do. You should be able to book John Sherman for an event if you sat through that thing. He owes you. He owes you. That's greater than any yes vote you could have given him. You sat there for two and a half hours you sat through. Nothing happening. Just rain and whatever was going on television. You were one of God's angels. I'm here to tell you that. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get back to a little bit of football. We're having a little fun today. You know, it's everybody's Friday. Some of you are at work. Some of you are not at work. Some of you are driving down to the lake. Let's talk a little football coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up at the top of the hour, if you missed it, J.J. Pecola was on the midday show earlier today. We'll play the best of that conversation for you coming up at 4 o'clock. We appreciate you listening and keeping it right here on 610 Sports Radio. We started today's show talking about last night's Royals game in a little bit of a different fashion. What's the worst way to see your team lose? Is it the heartbreaking, just soul-crushing loss? If you are somebody who likes to go to these games, you've sat through one of them. Just rips your soul out. Or is it one of the games in which you go and your team just absolutely, I mean, they just get smoked from the word go. It's never competitive. It's never fun. It's bad. Rob always makes fun of me, but I went to the last MUKU game that was at Mizzou Arena, and I can admit I talked myself into Missouri having a chance to win that game. You know, Missouri got off to a great start, you know, new coach, sold out building. I was feeling good. I thought Missouri really had a chance. The game starts. I'll never forget this. Like, it just happened yesterday. Grady Dick scored the first 4 points of the game, and then Jalen Wilson scored the next 2 points of the game, and Missouri called timeout. It was 6-0. It was 6-0 in like the first 70 seconds of the game. And I looked at my friend. I said, I think they're in trouble. I don't think they can guard these guys. Oh, stop being negative. I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of basketball games in my life. I do not think Missouri can guard them. Oh, I was right. Missouri hung a 100 spot on them on the road. Rob, you were telling me earlier how you love listening to the post game. I was listening to the post game. I just was curious what they were going to say. And someone asked DeJuan Harris, because you know DeJuan Harris is from Columbia, and they asked him about, hey, what was it like to go into the environment, and were you nervous? And I've never heard an athlete answer a question more calmly than how DeJuan Harris answered. He was like, we played in the national championship last year. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, you're right. You guys won the whole thing last year. You guys are really good. No, this was nothing. This was nothing. Whatever Mizzou had planned for you, it was certainly nothing than going up against North Carolina last year. No, you got us. You won this one. An absolute beatdown. Those games are not fun, too. You spend all your money, you drive out to the game, and they just get just smacked around for however long the game is. The heartbreaking loss is bad, and if you sat through a 2.5-hour rain delay and your team lost 5-1, that's the worst. I'm sorry. That game didn't end until midnight. You got there at 6:30, 7 o'clock. You didn't leave until midnight. You were probably soaking wet. Your team lost. It sounds absolutely awful. Rob, what's the worst loss that you've sat through? Because you're a KU football fan, so you've sat through some blowouts, and you've sat through some heartbreakers. You've sat through some games where it was like, oh, man, we really got a chance to win this one. No, you didn't have a chance to beat West Virginia. They beat you. You didn't have a chance to beat Iowa State or SMU. They beat you. What's the worst loss that you've ever sat through?
I'm trying to think. I honestly think the answer is, and you mentioned Kansas basketball, and it's a Kansas basketball answer. The year that KU won the national title, they had game day in town. It was in January, and they were going to have Kentucky. It was Kentucky versus Kansas. It was the Big 12 SEC showdown. That was the year Oscar Tshiebwe won player of the year.
Okay.
I had tickets to the KU-Kentucky game. Me and my now wife, then girlfriend, decided, let's go up and make a whole day of it in Lawrence. We got a hotel. We were going to go up there. We saw the tail end of game day. We then bebopped around Lawrence and got some food, got some drinks. We're hanging out. The vibes are great. The weather was fantastic. It was a very fun day. We get back to the stadium, 5 o'clock, KU, Kentucky. Allen Fieldhouse is rocking. There's a vibe in there. And then Kentucky just walloped Kansas. Like, Oscar Tshiebwe, I think, got every rebound that was available that night. Like, there was absolutely no stopping him. Abaji and Brown weren't making shots, and just DeJuan Harris's deficiencies were really highlighted, and Kentucky just really outclassed Kansas the entire game. And you know this as well as any college basketball fan knows this. Kentucky fans travel in droves. So as the game kept going on, to the right of my section is the GA area, and it is basically a big blue nation of palooza. And as KU is getting walloped, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, we had this great weekend planned in Lawrence, and instead I'm watching Kentucky beat the brakes off Kansas at Allen. That's top of mind for an unfun experience.
I think I may have told you this story before, but the first Missouri game I ever went to was the first Kansas game that I ever went to, the first time I ever went to Allen Fieldhouse. Now, some of you might remember this. I was at the game that Arthur Johnson got hung on the rim. You remember that? Where he jumps up, he does the dunk, and he doesn't jump high enough and just completely falls to the ground. It was bad. So I didn't know all the KU traditions then at that point. I then was introduced to the Rock Chalk chant, and they chanted it way earlier than you're supposed to, especially in a game like this. And instead of saying Rock Chalk KU at the end, they were chanting Rock Chalk NIT at the end. And I am telling you that they said this for the final 4 minutes of the game. And walking back to the car, they just continued. So you know these games happen in the winter. You know that I already don't like the cold. My team, this is the first time I ever got to go to a game. I'm in Allen Fieldhouse. I'm excited about it. My team gets thumped. One of their players embarrassed himself. They're chanting NIT as we're leaving the stadium. That is when my hatred of KU fans, that's when it started. That's my origin story. You know how any superhero, when they show you, hey, how did you become the way that you are? Carrington, why do you enjoy trolling KU fans? Because when I was 8 or 9 years old, they did it to me. They ruined my childhood. I didn't go back to Allen Fieldhouse for another 15 years after that. They ruined me. One of the worst experiences I've ever had going to a game. Can I tell you one more story about a loss? This one is from this past year. Do you remember how Missouri lost to LSU? Do you remember how they lost?
Oh, you were at that game?
This was the week after they had just beat K-State. So I'm feeling good. Oh, man, this is great. Missouri's playing well. Oh, man. Missouri had 2nd and 1. It was already a shootout. So LSU, I just looked it up just to be sure. LSU was up 42-39. Missouri has the ball. They get the ball with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. At this point, you feel good about it because no one has shown the ability to stop anybody. Hey, Mizzou, if you put a drive together and you score a touchdown, you can win this game. This is when I kind of still had some, hey, Missouri can make the college football playoff dreams in my head. I was still thinking this. They were undefeated at this time when they played LSU. It's 2nd and 1 from the LSU 41-yard line. It's less than 2 minutes left in the game. Hey, they're about to score. They then throw to Luther Burden. It's incomplete. All right, it's fine. It's 3rd and 1. They get a false start penalty. They then get a snap ball over Brady Cook's head that goes back 26 yards, Rob, on a drive that it was 2nd and 1 from the LSU 41-yard line. It then was 4th and 32 from the Missouri 28-yard line. 4th and 32. And then, Rob, they forced a punt. And then the very next play was a pick six by Brady Cook. They lose the game. I'm telling you, I walked out of that stadium beside myself. And you mentioned how Kentucky fans travel. You know LSU football fans travel. Oh, my goodness. They're celebrating and jumping up and down. I don't want to see this. I could tell you 5 Missouri games I've been at where something like that happened. How you go from 2nd and 1 to 3rd and 1 to 4th and 32.
Is that worse?
You get mad thinking about it again.
You told me you're at that UConn-Mizzou game. Now, Mizzou wins that one, but wasn't that the worst game you ever saw?
Or no, maybe that's a different experience. That was bad, though. I was at the game where it was 9-6. Yeah, no, I was at that one. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Not at all. It was bad. Real, real bad. Someone said, what about Tyus Edney? I wasn't there. I'm only telling you about games I was there, not games I saw on the television. I'm telling you about games I spent money to or drove to the game to watch them lose. It's the worst. Absolute worst. I don't wish that feeling on anybody other than KU fans. That's the only people I wish that on. I don't wish that on K-State. I don't wish that on Iowa State. I guess I wish it on Nebraska. That is a feeling that I only wish for KU fans. When you buy tickets and you see your team get smoked. The only time I've been to Hilton Coliseum, Missouri played Iowa State. Never a game. Never a game. First media timeout. They were down 16-4. I was ready to go at that point. I was ready to go. Hilton ain't that great when your team getting smoked. It ain't that fun. I didn't get a sense of any of the magic. I didn't feel any of the magic. It was not fun. It was not an enjoyable experience. Not at all. Absolutely hated it.
I will say my one time to Hilton, that people on television, Iowa State fans, wildly overrate the experience of Hilton. Just it looks like a parking garage when you pull up.
Can I tell you a secret about Hilton Coliseum? It's just Bramlage Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Bramlage. That's all it is. It's Bramlage with a cool name. Bramlage Magic doesn't sound nearly as cool as Hilton Magic. It's the same. I actually think K-State's basketball venue is a little bit better. I actually like it. I kind of like the way that it sits at the courts down low, and I like the way the seats are. I really like Bramlage as an experience. It's different. It's different than a lot of the other venues that we're accustomed to. I like it. And Hilton's fine. Now, maybe I'm skewed because when I go to K-State, I mean, I'm just there. I'm kind of cheering for K-State, but I mean, it's not my team. I'm not a fan. I mean, I've gone to watch my team get smoked in that building. Missouri's last basketball game at Bramlage, they got smoked. So I've gone there and seen my team lose before. But usually, I mean, I don't care if they win or lose. I'm just there to see a good basketball game. So I have a fun time when I go. But I like Bramlage. I think Bramlage is I think it's a nice place to watch a game.
I have fond memories going to Bramlage too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've never seen my team lose when I'm inside Bramlage. It's been great.
Not once.
I'm
coming up at the top of the hour, if you missed it, J.J. Pecola was on the midday show earlier today. We'll play the best of that conversation for you coming up at 4 o'clock. We appreciate you listening and keeping it right here on 610 Sports Radio. We started today's show talking about last night's Royals game in a little bit of a different fashion. What's the worst way to see your team lose? Is it the heartbreaking, just soul-crushing loss? If you are somebody who likes to go to these games, you've sat through one of them. Just rips your soul out. Or is it one of the games in which you go and your team just absolutely, I mean, they just get smoked from the word go. It's never competitive. It's never fun. It's bad. Rob always makes fun of me, but I went to the last MUKU game that was at Mizzou Arena, and I can admit, I talked myself into Missouri having a chance to win that game. You know, Missouri got off to a great start, you know, new coach, sold out building. I was feeling good. I thought Missouri really had a chance. The game starts. I'll never forget this. Like, it just happened yesterday. Grady Dick scored the first 4 points of the game, and then Jalen Wilson scored the next 2 points of the game, and Missouri called timeout. It was 6-0. It was 6-0 in like the first 70 seconds of the game. And I looked at my friend. I said, I think they're in trouble. I don't think they can guard these guys. Oh, stop being negative. I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of basketball games in my life. I do not think Missouri can guard them. Oh, I was right. Missouri hung a 100 spot on them on the road. Rob, you were telling me earlier how you love listening to the post game. I was listening to the post game. I just was curious what they were going to say. And someone asked DeJuan Harris, because you know DeJuan Harris is from Columbia, and they asked him about, hey, what was it like to go into the environment, and were you nervous? And I've never heard an athlete answer a question more calmly than how DeJuan Harris answered. He was like, we played in the national championship last year. I was like, oh, yeah, no, you're right. You guys won the whole thing last year. You guys are really good. No, this was nothing. This was nothing. Whatever Mizzou had planned for you, it was certainly nothing than going up against North Carolina last year. No, you got us. You won this one. An absolute beatdown. Those games are not fun, too. You spend all your money, you drive out to the game, and they just get just smacked around for however long the game is. The heartbreaking loss is bad. And if you sat through a 2.5 hour rain delay and your team lost 5-1, that's the worst. I'm sorry. That game didn't end until midnight. You got there at 6:30, 7 o'clock. You didn't leave until midnight. You were probably soaking wet. Your team lost. It sounds absolutely awful. Rob, what's the worst loss that you've sat through? Because you're a KU football fan, so you've sat through some blowouts, and you've sat through some heartbreakers. You've sat through some games where it was like, oh, man, we really got a chance to win this one. No, you didn't have a chance to beat West Virginia. They beat you. You didn't have a chance to beat Iowa State or SMU. They beat you. What's the worst loss that you've ever sat through?
I'm trying to think. I honestly think the answer is, and you mentioned Kansas basketball, and it's a Kansas basketball answer. The year that KU won the national title, they had game day in town. It was in January, and they were going to have Kentucky. It was Kentucky versus Kansas. It was the Big 12 SEC showdown. That was the year Oscar Tshiebwe won Player of the Year.
Okay.
I had tickets to the KU-Kentucky game. Me and my now wife, then girlfriend, decided, let's go up and make a whole day of it in Lawrence. We got a hotel. We were going to go up there. We saw the tail end of game day. We then bebopped around Lawrence and got some food, got some drinks. We're hanging out. The vibes are great. The weather was fantastic. It was a very fun day. We get back to the stadium, 5 o'clock, KU, Kentucky. Allen Fieldhouse is rocking. There's a vibe in there. And then Kentucky just walloped Kansas. Like, Oscar Tshiebwe, I think, got every rebound that was available that night. Like, there was absolutely no stopping him. Abaji and Brown weren't making shots, and just DeJuan Harris's deficiencies were really highlighted, and Kentucky just really outclassed Kansas the entire game. And you know this as well as any college basketball fan knows this. Kentucky fans travel in droves. So as the game kept going on, to the right of my section is the GA area, and it is basically a big blue nation of palooza. And as KU is getting walloped, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, we had this great weekend planned in Lawrence, and instead I'm watching Kentucky beat the brakes off Kansas at Allen. That's top of mind for an unfun experience.
I think I may have told you this story before, but the first Missouri game I ever went to was the first Kansas game that I ever went to, the first time I ever went to Allen Fieldhouse. Now, some of you might remember this. I was at the game that Arthur Johnson got hung on the rim. You remember that? Where he jumps up, he does the dunk, and he doesn't jump high enough and just completely falls to the ground. It was bad. So I didn't know all the KU traditions then at that point. I then was introduced to the Rock Chalk chant, and they chanted it way earlier than you're supposed to, especially in a game like this. And instead of saying Rock Chalk KU at the end, they were chanting Rock Chalk NIT at the end. And I am telling you that they said this for the final 4 minutes of the game, and walking back to the car, they just continued. So you know these games happen in the winter. You know that I already don't like the cold. My team, this is the first time I ever got to go to a game. I'm in Allen Fieldhouse. I'm excited about it. My team gets thumped. One of their players embarrassed himself. They're chanting NIT as we're leaving the stadium. That is when my hatred of KU fans, that's when it started. That's my origin story. You know how any superhero, when they show you, hey, how did you become the way that you are? Carrington, why do you enjoy trolling KU fans? Because when I was 8 or 9 years old, they did it to me. They ruined my childhood. I didn't go back to Allen Fieldhouse for another 15 years after that. They ruined me. One of the worst experiences I've ever had going to a game. Can I tell you one more story about a loss? This one is from this past year. Do you remember how Missouri lost to LSU? Do you remember how they lost?
Oh, you were at that game?
This was the week after they had just beat K-State. So I'm feeling good. Oh, man, this is great. Missouri's playing well. Oh, man. Missouri had 2nd and 1. It was already a shootout. So LSU, I just looked it up just to be sure. LSU was up 42-39. Missouri has the ball. They get the ball with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. At this point, you feel good about it because no one has shown the ability to stop anybody. Hey, Mizzou, if you put a drive together and you score a touchdown, you can win this game. This is when I kind of still had some, hey, Missouri can make the college football playoff dreams in my head. I was still thinking this. They were undefeated at this time when they played LSU. It's 2nd and 1 from the LSU 41-yard line. It's less than 2 minutes left in the game. Hey, they're about to score. They then throw to Luther Burden. It's incomplete. All right, it's fine. It's 3rd and 1. They get a false start penalty. They then get a snap ball over Brady Cook's head that goes back 26 yards, Rob, on a drive that it was 2nd and 1 from the LSU 41-yard line. It then was 4th and 32 from the Missouri 28-yard line. fourth and 32. And then, Rob, they forced a punt. And then the very next play was a pick six by Brady Cook. They lose the game. I'm telling you, I walked out of that stadium beside myself. And you mentioned how Kentucky fans travel. You know LSU football fans travel. Oh, my goodness. They're celebrating and jumping up and down. I don't want to see this. I could tell you five Missouri games I've been at where something like that happened. How you go from second and one to third and one to fourth and 32.
Is that worse?
You get mad thinking about it again.
You told me you were at that UConn-Mizzou game. Now, Mizzou wins that one, but wasn't that the worst game you ever saw?
Or no, maybe that's a different experience. That was bad, though. I was at the game where it was 9-6. Yeah, no, I was at that one. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Not at all. It was bad. Real, real bad. Someone said, what about Tyus Edney? I wasn't there. I'm only telling you about games I was there, not games I saw on the television. I'm telling you about games I spent money to or drove to the game to watch them lose. It's the worst. Absolute worst. I don't wish that feeling on anybody other than KU fans. That's the only people I wish that on. I don't wish that on K-State. I don't wish that on Iowa State. I guess I wish it on Nebraska. That is a feeling that I only wish for KU fans. When you buy tickets and you see your team get smoked. The only time I've been to Hilton Coliseum, Missouri played Iowa State. Never a game. Never a game. First media timeout. They were down 16-4. I was ready to go at that point. I was ready to go. Hilton ain't that great when your team getting smoked. It ain't that fun. I didn't get a sense of any of the magic. I didn't feel any of the magic. It was not fun. It was not an enjoyable experience. Not at all. Absolutely hated it.
I will say my one time to Hilton, that people on television, Iowa State fans, wildly overrate the experience of Hilton. Just it looks like a parking garage when you pull up.
Can I tell you a secret about Hilton Coliseum? It's just Bramlage Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Bramlage. That's all it is. It's Bramlage with a cool name. Bramlage Magic doesn't sound nearly as cool as Hilton Magic. It's the same. I actually think K-State's basketball venue is a little bit better. I actually like it. I kind of like the way that it sits at the courts down low, and I like the way the seats are. I really like Bramlage as an experience. It's different. It's different than a lot of the other venues that we're accustomed to. I like it, and Hilton's fine. Now, maybe I'm skewed because when I go to K-State, I mean, I'm just there. I'm kind of cheering for K-State, but I mean, it's not my team. I'm not a fan. I mean, I've gone to watch my team get smoked in that building. Missouri's last basketball game at Bramlage, they got smoked. So I've gone there and seen my team lose before. But usually, I mean, I don't care if they win or lose. I'm just there to see a good basketball game. So I have a fun time when I go. But I like Bramlage. I think Bramlage is I think it's a nice place to watch a game.
I have fond memories going to Bramlage too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've never seen my team lose when I'm inside Bramlage. It's been great.
Not once?
I'm undefeated.
How many times have you been?
Twice. I've been twice.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I saw the Sherron Collins beats that Elite Eight Jacob Pullen team game. That was a great time. That was an incredible time. And then I saw one of those good Bruce Weber teams just couldn't compete with Kansas. That was another good time.
A good Bruce Weber team. They had that many?
It was the it was Bruce Weber's first year. Remember they shared the Big 12 title, either KU and 3-0 against them? I saw Withy and Elijah Johnson just put it on them. It felt good.
What's Bruce Weber up to these days, man? Can we get Bruce Weber on the show? Can he be friend of the show?
I don't know.
I'd love for Bruce Weber to be our correspondent. K-State fans, they want more of a voice on the show. I can't think of a better voice to give to than a former K-State head coach. Let's have Bruce Weber on the show, friend of the show.
I'm 90% sure he's on the Big Ten Network right now. Don't have any update on his cutting his hair yet, but we'll see.
I would love to get Bruce Weber, and we just do mean tweets with Bruce Weber. We just go through and we just have Bruce Weber read tweets from his time at K-State. Just, hey, Bruce, what do you think about this? That would be great, especially in his voice and his tone. It'd be really enjoyable, man. I would like to do it. All right, before we play J.J. Piccolo coming up at the top of the hour, where would you say that the 4th of July, where do you think that Independence Day ranks in your holiday power rankings? It's near the top for me. I love it. You know, I don't like the cold. I love the summer. I like 4th of July. It's not my favorite holiday. As I've gotten older, I maybe like Thanksgiving more than I like Christmas. I really like Thanksgiving, the food, the football. It's just, It's just Christmas is kind of stressful because you got to like think of so many other people and you got to go shopping. You got to wrap the gifts and you got to do all that. I just really like Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving now because you don't really have many responsibilities. You know what my responsibilities are on Thanksgiving? Show up and eat. Show up, eat, have a good attitude. As long as I do those three things, it's going to be good. I'm not here. I don't care who you voted for in the last election. I don't want to talk to you about who you voted for in the last election. I have the same job as I had the last time that you and I talked to each other. I'm here to eat and I'm here to watch the game. 4th of July is it's very, very high up on my holiday power ranking. Where is it ranked for you?
3rd. Thanksgiving 1, Christmas 2, 4th of July 3. But I mean, if we're being honest, those are the only three like really register like score. Like Memorial Day is not a holiday like you celebrate. It is an in memoriam day. Labor Day is like similar deal. You don't celebrate a thing, despite what the text line said earlier. It is mostly a end of summer type of vibe. St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo, I'm too old for those holidays. Like if I do something, I do something. If not, whatever. I hate New Year's Eve. It's no fun at all. Like outside of the three you've mentioned, like are any of the others even scoring on someone's ranking? Like if you have, man, my favorite holiday is St. Patrick's Day. I think you have a drinking problem. There is no other reason to have that at the top of the list. It's in some order Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July for everyone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Halloween, if I had a kid, maybe Halloween's different because I could take my kid trick-or-treating.
No, that makes sense.
But I'm an adult. I don't go trick-or-treating anymore. I'm also too old to, like, dress up and go out to the bars because I'm grown. I mean, no.
Yeah, I would say that unless you have kids or once you get out of college, Halloween can't be in your top five anymore. It's not that fun anymore. It's just not that fun anymore. I mean, I enjoy Halloween, you know, you watch a little scary movie, you do all this. I mean, I like it. It's just, yeah, Halloween is a single in your 20s or teens holiday. Bro, we in our mid-30s. Halloween ain't for me no more. What am I doing here? I don't have any interest in getting dressed up like Frankenstein, bro. That time's over for me in my life.
If you're 23 and you go in one of the bars as a cover, you get a wristband and you're about to turn up, I could see you having a good time on Halloween.
But
if you're 33 and Halloween's on a Tuesday and you're like, man, I'm psyched for Halloween, oh, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, if you're 30-something and you're still really excited about Halloween, you also get really excited about Cinco de Mayo. You also get really excited about St. Patrick's Day, too. Like, there is an overlap. Like, on a Venn diagram, they're the same individual. You get really excited about all three of these things. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, J.J. Piccolo was on the Midday Show earlier today. We'll play the best of that conversation. We want you guys to hear from the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. So drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.